Over the last few weeks together, we've been studying really the doctrine of the church, seeking to get a better understanding of what the church is and what its functions are to be, and how we here at Eastside Baptist Church can become a healthier church and become healthier church members. And so last week, we started to look at what is a healthy church member. And today we're going to continue along those same lines and ask the same question with another part of the answer. Last week, we focused our attention on the fact that a healthy church member is one who has been genuinely converted through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. And that conversion involves, manifests itself in a biblical response to the gospel of faith and repentance, and also evidences itself in fruits, in good deeds that follow from that biblical response to the gospel. And the reason we talked about that last week is because there are churches that have church members in them that are not converted. There are churches all across this world that are true gospel preaching churches that preach the Word of God, that have people within their churches on the rolls, sitting in the pews for years, who are not truly converted. And we saw last week that even Jesus had that same problem, that Judas Iscariot walked away from him and betrayed him. That in John chapter 6, many people who claimed to follow Jesus actually ended up walking away from him and were not truly his. We saw that in the New Testament epistles, the letters of the apostles, that they continually have to deal with false teaching and with those who were a part of the church who were not genuine, who were not really followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's not a problem that is common just to our day. It was common in New Testament times as well. And we wanted to just focus our attention on that last week to remind ourselves that a true church member, a healthy church member, needs to be one who is really a Christian, who's truly converted by the gospel and is evidencing that conversion by their response to the gospel and the life that follows from it. Today, I want to look at with you the issue of discipleship, and that is a healthy church member is a growing, learning disciple of Jesus Christ who is then seeking to make other disciples. What I desire for us here at Eastside Baptist Church is for all of us here to be genuine believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, genuine disciples of the Lord, who are growing, learning. In other words, not content, not satisfied with where we are in our current progress, in our current state of knowledge of the Scriptures, in our current state of knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, or in our current state of growth in grace. We want to be in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to be continually moving forward. We want to be learning more. We want to be more faithful, more obedient, more loving, more joyful, more at peace with one another. And so we want to be abounding, increasing as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I desire for us that all of us would see it as our mission to then pass that on to others, to pass it on to the next generation, to pass it on to new believers who are coming to the faith, and to take what we have learned and what we've grown in and seek to apply that into the lives of others as well. I want to look at three ideas this morning with you on this idea of discipleship. And the first point that I think is really important is that every Christian is a disciple. Every Christian is a disciple. And the reason I want to take a few moments to talk about that this morning is because there is an idea out there that I've read and encountered that those two things are different. That those two things are separated, and that you can be a Christian and not be a disciple. And that teaching, essentially what it does is it creates a two-stage approach to Christianity, in which you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you trust in what He has done for you, but there's really no need to become His follower and obey His commands and grow in following the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to be super committed, be a super Christian, then later on you can have this commitment of life to the Lord Jesus Christ and you can really become a disciple who is sacrificing and serving and doing and really becoming a super Christian. The New Testament does not present that view of Christianity. The New Testament does not present a two-stage view of Christianity in which you can become a Christian at one point and then some point later on down the line you can have an act of commitment where you become a real faithful disciple all in for the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament pictures it as the same thing. In that when you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's not your work, because it's a work of the Holy Spirit, because it comes from supernatural power from above, that what happens in conversion is not just faith, but also a desire to turn from your sin and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance. That's a work of the Spirit. And so even last week we saw that in true conversion there is a departure from the old way of life and all things become new. We are new creatures, new creations in Christ. And I want to just look at a few scriptures with you to show you that I think even in the teaching of the Lord Jesus, there was not this distinction between faith and discipleship. That really it was one and the same. Luke 9:23, Jesus said, "Then he said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me.'" Now, that's discipleship, right? Discipleship, following the Lord Jesus Christ with your life, even commitment and sacrifice. Take up your cross daily and follow me. That is discipleship. But I want you to see that Jesus connects that discipleship to eternal life. And he says in the very next verse, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." And so I just want to state it plainly this morning that if you're not a disciple, you're not a Christian. And you're going to lose your life in the end. "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." And so Jesus does not envision a two-stage process. Jesus envisions a faith that is also a discipleship. Luke 9:62, after talking with some people who had a desire to follow the Lord, some people came to Jesus and said, "Lord, we want to follow you wherever you go." And Jesus says, "Okay, but foxes have place to live, birds have place to live, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." I just want to make sure you understand that, to count the cost of what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says to another person, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, please let me go first and bury my father. I've got some things I've got to take care of first before I follow you." Jesus says to another, "Follow me." But he says, "No, first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family." He's got some other things he needs to take care of before he follows the Lord Jesus Christ. And to this, Jesus responds in Luke 9:62, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Meaning, there is no place in the kingdom of God for someone who is not a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, who follows and obeys and goes with the Lord wherever he goes. Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." That's salvation, right? That's eternal life. "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." Meaning that there is obedience, there is discipleship, there is a desire to follow and walk with the Lord that accompanies true saving faith. And so many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Meaning that there will be on the last day people who believe that they are the Lord's and will profess that they are the Lord's, but because there was never any evidence that they were the Lord's in obedience or discipleship, he'll say to them on the last day, I don't know who you are. Depart from me. And so there is not a distinction in the New Testament between being a Christian and being a disciple, or faith and discipleship. To be a Christian is to be a disciple. Now, what is a disciple? Well, every disciple is a growing, learning follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, just to back up our last point, it's interesting to me that in reading the Gospel of John, that oftentimes in the Gospel of John, there is a switching back and forth between believing and following. Notice that. The next time that you read through the Gospel of John, notice that sometimes Jesus will say something and use the term believe, but then a few verses later, or maybe the next chapter, he'll say the same thing, except he'll use the word follow. Emphasizing the idea that faith and discipleship go hand in hand and they're there together. And every disciple is a growing, learning follower of Jesus Christ. And this comes to us just from the meaning of the word itself. A disciple is one who learns. A disciple is one who is coming along and literally imitating the one that he is following, seeking to be like him in every way, in knowledge and in practice. Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. There's learning, growing involved in being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Notice what Paul says in Colossians about the idea of growing in the faith. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this reason, since the day that we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will, growth and learning, right? Growing in understanding through the Scriptures, through the Spirit. The knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. That's growing in obedience. And so discipleship involves growing in knowledge, growing in love, growing in faith, growing in obedience, as evidenced in the fruit of good works, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. And so, discipleship, being a Christian, involves growth, learning, studying the Scriptures, growing in obedience, growing in love. Paul says later in that same letter of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 6, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. Meaning, it's not just a one-time event, right? There's a continuation, there's a building, there's an ongoing relationship and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And so there's a continued relationship, and that continuation of relationship involves progress, growth, and learning. 2 Peter 3:18, as he closes his letter, the very last thing he says to the Christians he was writing to, he says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So the last thing that Peter says to these people, maybe the last thing he ever wrote in his life, he says, grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in Colossians 1:28, here's a summary of his ministry, a summary of his mission. He, Jesus, is the one that we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. That means there needs to be growth there, right? There needs to be growth. There needs to be progress, learning, development in the faith and in good works. That was Paul's desire in ministry, is not just to get someone to the point of where they pray a prayer of acknowledgement to the Lord. That's not what Paul's ministry was about. Paul's ministry was about making disciples. Making disciples who, yes, acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior, but then continue to exhibit the fact that they are following Jesus as Lord and Savior by their growth in the faith and by their coming to maturity in Christ. That was Paul's desire, was to make fully mature disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so every Christian is a disciple. Every disciple needs to be growing and learning and following the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly this morning, disciples of Jesus Christ seek to make other disciples. And there's an important turn there that I want you to understand, that being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is not content with just your own progress. Being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ means that you love and embrace the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is to make other disciples. And so if you're a growing disciple, then you're not just content with where you are. You want to grow, you want to progress, but also you're not content with where your brother or sister in Christ is. You're also not content with your neighbor, perhaps, that doesn't have a knowledge of the gospel. You want to always continually be seeking to make and grow disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think there are many, many passages in the New Testament that teach us this. One is in Matthew 4:19. From the very beginning, when Jesus called His disciples, His message to them was, this is not just for you, you're going to pass this on to others. In Matthew 4:19, He says, come, follow Me. There's discipleship, right? Come, follow Me. Believe in Me. Trust in Me. Become a follower of Christ, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to teach you how to fish for people. So from the very beginning of their following Christ, it was understood that their following Christ means that they're going to draw others to follow Christ and make other disciples. The mission that Christ left us in Matthew 28 is very clear. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples. Not just people who you get them to a point of decision and then say, great, see you later. There's another one for my notch on my belt. No, that's not the mission that Jesus left us. The mission that Jesus left us is to take unbelievers and through the power of the gospel to make them fully mature disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, obeying everything that Jesus taught us. And so go make disciples everywhere, every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and I'm with you to the very end of the age. Now, is that commission just for the 12? Was that just a super commission, super project that God gave just to the original 12 but doesn't apply to us? I don't think so. I think we see in the New Testament that the mission that Jesus gave to the 12 was intended to be passed on to the ones that the 12 would reach. And then passed on again and again and again. And so the mission that Jesus gave to the 12 apostles is also our mission. And it is the mission of every disciple of the Lord Jesus. Ephesians 4:11. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Here's the gifts that Christ gave to His church. Why did He give them? Verse 12. To equip His people for works of service. Who is to be doing the works of service? The people. What's the role of the pastors, teachers, the officers, the gifts that Christ gave to the church? Their role is to teach, yes, and do works of service, but their role is also to equip all of God's people to do works of service as well. And so what's interesting is that I'm not the only minister of this church. We're all ministers. in this church. We're all ministers. We're all part of the body. And so one of my tasks, in fact, a primary task, is to help you grow so that you can minister to other people and help make other disciples. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, Colossians 3:16, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. There's a mutual teaching there. So teaching and learning and growing in discipleship in the Scriptures is not just the full-time vocational servants of the Lord doing all the discipleship ministry. The church in the New Testament is pictured as a body of Christ in which all the parts of the body are functioning, doing ministry and doing discipleship, teaching one another. In Acts 18, in this particular context, there is a man by the name of Apollos who is zealous for the Lord, has a great knowledge of the Scriptures, and he's preaching and teaching, but there are a few defects in his understanding of who Jesus is and what he's come to do. And so there's a couple, Aquila and Priscilla, and they hear this man teach, and they spot a couple of defects in his understanding, and he hasn't quite yet come to a full understanding of what Jesus has come to do. And so guess what they do? They take him aside and they bring him to their house and they teach him. So here they take him and they invite him to their home and explain to him the way of God more adequately. Acts 18:26. Meaning that here is a couple of people, Aquila and Priscilla, husband and wife, and they saw it as their responsibility to pass the faith along to others and to use their home to do it. And so I would love to see us as a church doing ministry for one another and among one another outside of the walls of this building on Sunday. Calling one another, praying for one another, inviting people into our homes and showing hospitality. And gathering around the Bible. You know, one thing that you could do if you have the opportunity, and many of us do have this opportunity, is find someone in this church, find someone in the body of Christ, and say, you know, once a week, let's just get together for coffee, for breakfast, and let's just read the Bible together. Let's pick a book of the Bible, Matthew, Ephesians, Gospel of John. Let's just pick a book of the Bible, let's get together, and let's read the Bible together. Let's pray together. And I have a small tool. It's a little book. You could probably read it in an hour. But it's called One-to-One Bible Reading. And it explains just a really simple process of how to do that, of questions that you can ask of the Bible, of the text, ask of each other. And it's intended to be a mutual discipleship ministry. I would love to see our church doing that on a more regular basis, teaching and admonishing one another. 2 Timothy 2:2. The things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Meaning, pass it on. The faith that you've received and grown in, pass it on to others who will be able to do the same thing. And so this is the pattern of the New Testament. And so in your minds, if you can think of a spectrum, think of a continuum. And on the far side of the spectrum, you have unbelievers. Do not understand the gospel, have not embraced the gospel, do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And on the other end of the spectrum, you have a mature, growing, faithful servant, disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not perfect, none of us ever will be, but mature, learning, growing, able to pass the faith along to others, having a consistent godly character and testimony in their lives. So think about that spectrum. Where are you along that spectrum? Somewhere along that spectrum, there's a divide right here where you pass from death unto life. where you come to a knowledge of the gospel through the preaching of the gospel, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and you cross from death unto life. And then having crossed from death unto life and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you seek to make progress. You seek to grow and learn more of the faith and grow in your character and your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and grow in grace. And you're moving, you're progressing. So where are you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? And is it possible that where you have come to in your growth and your walk in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you can go back a couple of steps and see someone who needs to be brought forward? And you can have a ministry in their lives. And either sharing the gospel with them, so they'll cross from death into life, or maybe a new believer or a young believer or immature believer that you can help to grow in their faith and make progress. And so really, a couple of applications this morning. One, are you growing? Are you growing? Can you look back over your life? Let's just say look back over the last year or couple of years. And are you seeing progress in your walk in Christ? Are you seeing progress in knowledge of the Scriptures, knowledge of doctrine, knowledge of the ways of the Lord? Are you seeing progress in obedience, in elements of the old man falling away and more elements and practices of the new man being manifested in your life? Are you seeing growth in grace, in obedience, and fruits of the Spirit? Are you growing? And second application is, are you seeking to invest your lives in others? It doesn't have to be extensive. It doesn't have to be big. I'm not asking you to take on a huge project. It could be just one person. It could be just one person, maybe an unbeliever, maybe another believer in the church that you want to help grow in their faith, or an unbeliever come to the faith. Are you seeking to invest your lives in others? And so my encouragement to you today is that to be a healthy church member, that you would be a growing, learning disciple who is also seeking to make other disciples for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.